welcome members. In a new dawn, a new age, where we are all called to commit that we are agreeing to defend Tumamin. We enjoyed the debate on SONA, and there was a lot that was said in relation to small business development. And I think that we will change gear in the manner in which we do things so that we can begin to have an effect on the ground. Before we get into the briefing, I would just want to address a few things. In terms of our study tour to Kenya and Spain, we have been corresponding. The ambassador to the South African Embassy in Spain is advising us to postpone because the date that we had chosen coinciding with the Easter holidays, and before Easter holidays, people leave and go on holiday. The advice that we are getting from Kenya is that there is still a little bit of instability. There are still members that have been, ministers that have not yet been appointed. They are also asking us to consider a later date. Spain was advising us to come in April, but in terms of our parliamentary program, April will not be good because that is the time at which we deal with the budget vote. So we are putting an application to, we are negotiating with them to go in June. I thought that I should make that announcement. And then that then impacts on the program that we have adopted of the first quarter. But also it gives us an opportunity to follow up on a number of things that we still wanted to follow up on, which form part of the tracking tool and issues that are raised by communities. For instance, we've got a letter from Abalim that would want to know when the department will implement the remedial action that was agreed upon. We also have to conclude the issue of the forensic audit that we agreed on, and the House Chairperson had deferred that due to non-availability of budget. And as soon as the new financial year kicks in, there will be budget, and we can then start with that process. And there are a number of outstanding resolutions that appear on the tracking tool that we would want the department to give us a progress report on, including those that appear on oversight. So we will then be amending the program and bring it back to the portfolio committee next week on Wednesday for adoption. So today we are then going to receive a briefing from the Department of Small Business Development.
About the tracking tool, I think last week we asked the advisor to send us a copy of that tracking tool, and as far as I know, I haven't received it. So if we can just make sure that we get that tracking tool so that we can also prepare and see where we are and if it's comprehensive. because I know there's a few things that I want for us to see if you come and talk about. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for reminding us that the advisor is on here for 2 weeks, but we can make arrangements for that between myself and the interpreter. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to you, the colleagues in the department. It's not on the issues of the item per se, Chair, but maybe you'll rule me out of order. Since the committee proceedings are recorded, I think it's proper that we start by sending, as a committee, our condolences to the five police officers who have been killed this morning at Engcobo. That was in my mind, Chairperson, as a recorded proceedings. Thank you.
Thank you. Then the department is going to be briefing us on the progress in aligning functions that are still located in other government departments, which is the tracking tool. That is on the tracking tool 57 and 77. Before we go into that, can we then take the apologies?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members, and good morning, colleagues. Chair, I will bring to the attention of the committee the apology of Honorable Dr. Nkosazana Zuma and the apology of Mr. Kumede, who is on leave. And then on our side, we'll also extend our apology for receiving catering very late. There has been a delay in the kitchen, so just to extend that apology. So those are the apologies that we have received. Thank you.
Honorable Silva.
Madam Chair, it's not an apology, it's just a question, and please, it's not a political statement at all, but I just want to ask if Honorable Dirks is still part of this committee, because if he is, then I want to make, please, we need to sort his behavior out in Parliament. There's no way that I will associate myself with a member in this committee that attack women. I mean, we can't condone it, and I say in the strongest words, I won't associate myself with a person with that behavior in public. Thank you, ma'am.
Honorable Mabasa.
Thanks, Comrade Chairperson. Now, Honorable Dex is no longer a member of this committee. He is only an alternate. So, thank you, Comrade Chair.
Thank you very much. Can we then proceed? While they are sorting out the presentation members can then can have a 5 minute break for members to take tea. I won't make a mistake. I'm kind of open with them. So now I'm talking to you.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, good morning. Maybe just to start with the apology. I thought the apology was sent through for the DG. She's out of the country. And I'm told the DM, the Minister is also attending Cabinet today, and the DM also won't make it.
I just have an interest to understand. OTG, when she is out of the country, when the minister and the deputy minister are in the country, how does that happen? And also, how does it happen between the priorities of the DG? Are not the key responsibility of being an accounting officer to Parliament. Honourable Mark.
Just addition, Chairperson, not what you are saying, because some also amazed that today is the budget speech of this country. Then we have the accounting officer who prioritized going overseas. I think even if she was not in Parliament to hear the minister speaking, but she was supposed to be within the country to get all that information to be able to share with the minister. I'm a little bit disappointed that looking at the nature of the activities of the day in the country today, then we have the accounting officer who prioritize foreign countries. I don't know. I'm just expressing my disappointment on top of what the chairperson has outlined.
Can we get the understanding of what is she doing outside the country when Parliament is actually, when the President was setting the tone on Friday of the direction of the country, including the department, and when then on Monday there was a debate on all the issues and small business was mentioned very prominently during that debate, even in the reply by the President. Small business featured in that. I just want to understand how important was this trip of going overseas to what is happening in the country, priorities of the country.
Honourable Chair, the meeting that the DG is attending, if I remember well, it was supposed to be, they had invited the minister to the OECD ministerial meeting, and then she asked the Organization of European Commission, I think, the European structure that deals with the in fact, they do mostly research, so that engagement is around small business development, incubation, and other programs that are supposed to support the development of small businesses.
Just for the acting DG's, deputy DG's information, the OECD is the body of the United Nations, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Not a European body, it's a global body.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members. But I want to have some word with the department. to support your statement and the Honorable Mwale, but the behavior by the DG, and which is starting today. There are so many important meetings which she must come here and account to us. But she prefers to go home to oversee. She should have maybe sent delegate the chief director to go there and come here and listen to us. More especially because today's topic is about the things the department is complaining that some of the functions are sent to another department. It means it's a plan of action for the department. So that when the budget today, we get a budget, we must know the other functions which are budgeted to other departments. It's her who must come and tell us here as an accounting officer that there is this for small business in this department, so that we must fight with direction. So when she's not here at this important meeting of parliament, it's tantamount to undermining the parliament, and as she must account here with the ministers. We agree the apology of the minister going to the cabinet, but for her, as an accounting officer, we need her so that we can start this journey together with this financial year. We are completing the financial year, we are going to start the new financial year. And throughout the previous financial year, the complaint was the other functions are with the DTI, this is that place. So it was the best for the secretariat to convene this meeting today so that we can know exactly what is this function and that function in the other department, how to come and consolidate them. Because the president was all the way talking about the small business as the very important aspect in terms of the radical economic transformation. So with this department, if it's weak and the other functions are on the other departments or other on the other entities, this department will be just a department without assisting our people there. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Tom.
Thank you, Chair. I share the sentiments and feelings of my colleagues, but I also want to request that the Chair take the responsibility of checking with the Minister, who I understand has delegated the DG to take this trip, so that if maybe this plane has to shift from the DG to the Minister, let it be. But if maybe the DG still had the authority to say, no, my priority is this, let it be. But I would ask the Chair to consider getting a clarity on this part. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you, Chair. Maybe all following from Honorable Kapa. But it should also be stressed that it is important for the DG to be here as an accounting officer, as much as we'll be gathering those reasons. Uguti had she had an option of saying yes or no in terms of her going. Because it has happened several times, many instances. I mean, it's not for the first time that we are experiencing this. As it's not for the first time we are experiencing this. And it's like sometimes when she's not here, when she'll be receiving a report for whomever that was here on behalf of the department, it's like it's those that were there that committed themselves. It's not me, and then I will not therefore add. Because seemingly it has been like that, you know, that we will sit in a meeting, we will make some recommendations, we'll resolve on some issues, and there will be no action thereafter, you know, because it will be like, no, I wasn't there, you know, those that were there should see into it that they do. Because at the end of the day, she's the one that is an accounting officer, the one that is to ensure that whatever that we resolve upon here should be implemented. So we really, 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 it's frustrating. It does not go well with me to say we are to attend a meeting and a person that is supposed to assist us, you know, because it's not also about us sitting here. It's about our constituents. It's about the people outside there, you know, that are to be satisfied in terms of what is it that they require. So I think we are to have those reasons really, Chairperson. Thank you.
Indeed, when people are in critical positions, there are certain periods in a calendar year that are critical. So if this period has not been seen as a critical period, that is why even the sittings are deemed to be three-line weeks, you know, where we must all attend, even those that are in. Even Mom Tim had problems, but she had to attend. So it's really unfortunate that the DG is not here at such a critical moment. If it's critical for us, why is it not critical for her? You know, that's a worrying point. But I just want to follow on Comrade Mam Tebu that the suggestion by Uwab Kapa should not exonerate the DG, even if the minister says it was per instruction. You know, that I think that the minister has her role, the DG has her role, so it's not as if it is the minister and the deputy minister. You know, that's a different situation. Thanks, Correge.
Mina, I want to put this thing into perspective. There are three arms of the state. There is the executive, which the department falls under. There is and the political deployee that is Minister Lindi Mzungu. There is Parliament, to which the executives account. It's not the other way around. And then there is judiciary, which sees to it when we have these two arms of the state has violated their obligations and their mandates. Now, it can't be that the calendar of Parliament is known both by the political deployee and the accounting officer, but there are priorities that are more important than Parliament, to which the executive accounts. They don't account it to that, to whatever organization, whether it is the European Union or whatever, they don't account to that. They account to Parliament. Also, it is undermining the authority of Parliament for both the minister and the DG not to write to the chairperson of the portfolio committee and explain why the DG will not be here. I'm not a stooge. I'm deployed here with an authority to lead the portfolio committee. And portfolio committee represents Parliament. That behavior is a behavior of saying we can decide what we can do at any time and Parliament will not do anything. It's not about me. It's about Parliament. In one time, we were supposed to receive the strategic plan and the APP. And all minister chose to attend the event, AIBZ, MEC, was the case at Mabuyakura, and not come here to
to be part of the presentation of the strategic plan and the APP of the department. We have highlighted all these things that we are following up, the resolutions, because there has been no action from the department. If there was an action, we would not be lifting up this thing. And when we are following that up, the accounting officer chooses not to be there. Even on the previous meetings that we had, we were following up on the marketing unit of the department. And the person who came to make a presentation is a person who is not responsible for that. The person who was responsible was sitting and folding arms next to him. And also what they were presenting to us was not progress. It did not relate to the felt need of SMMEs and cooperatives. They have not even started to respond to the fact that school nutrition program is a designated program for cooperatives. The marketing unit has not done that. They didn't report about that. They report about the things that they are still going to. Their focus is on departments, national departments. It's not on addressing the needs and looking at the potential, the opportunities that are there, and also picking up on the policies that already exist. If there is a policy that says the school nutrition program is a designated service for cooperatives, why are we not seeing that in the marketing as a strategic objective of the market the market access unit of the department? If school furniture is a designated for cooperatives, why do we see broken desks piling the classrooms and there is no strategy in the market access unit? That is why we then, Lindo, chased the department away, because they were not talking to the existing policies and they are not talking to the felt needs. The department only prepares reports to come and present to us. They don't prepare reports of the work that they have done on the ground. They are only managing the portfolio committee. So, we have a very strong message, and we are going to write a very strong letter to the department, because we are not going to tolerate that. And also, we no longer want to hear that this department is new. This department is no longer new. It's a toddler now that can run. A child runs in 2 years. When I gave birth 6 times, all my children were running at 2 years. The twins as well. This department is not even crawling. A 4-year-old child is talking, is going to a early childhood learning center.
Madam Chair, and I don't want to get involved in personalities, but the DG had the same problem, and there was the same concerns, as far as I know, from agriculture, the agriculture committee. Correct, right. So there's, and now I'm questioning now the process of how if I don't do my job in this department, how do I go and get the same job in another department? What will make me then do my job in the second department? So there's a problem with the processes here. Surely, if there was a problem in agriculture, they should have sorted it out. And I mean, if you can't do the job, you can't do the job. Or if you're not loyal to the job or whatever, I don't know what's the problem. But it seems like they agriculture just want to get rid of her, and we were very eager to pick her up.
Say again?
The DG was on retirement already.
Yes. But how did we pick her up then? So somebody favored her and bring her into this committee and didn't listen. Why didn't that person that appointed her listen to agriculture first and say, listen, is this DG worth it while? Will she pick up this department to the heights that this department supposed to be? So I'm questioning the process, and I'm questioning the person that brought her back from retirement. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Two things that are very important here. The message that we are sending, we no longer want to hear the word this department is new. It's no longer new. It's a toddler. If it was a child, it would be in the early childhood learning center. Two, we want the department to prioritize accounting to Parliament through the Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development. That is the priority of the department, not to attend any conference or anything. This committee is the priority of the department. Thirdly, we don't want the department, the DG, to send a scapegoat kind of a person to come and account. Sending Jalifa to come and account and carry the sins of Nomvula. Nomvula must carry her sins. If Nomvula is not performing, it must Nomvula who come and present here, not Jalifa. But I will be writing a letter to that effect, a very strong audit letter. Can we then move to the presentation? And before you do that, Ms. Chalewiti, Nina, are you the responsible people to come and brief us on these two things? Because if you are not, none is on Josh.
Who are going to write the letter to achieve what?
Pardon me?
To whom are you going to write the strong letter and to achieve what?
I'll write a strong letter to the minister and the DG.
Mm-hmm. And achieve something out of that letter.
I hope I will. That their priority is here, especially the accounting officer. Her priority is here.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I would like to apologize for arriving late, but I would like to extend the apology on behalf of the Deputy Minister. She's attending a Cabinet Committee meeting, and there were changes with regards to their schedule this morning, hence my arrival late. Thank you.
Lindo. Thank you, we accept that.
Thank you, Chair. I've been appointed to act this week on behalf of the DG for this period. yes, for this week.
But in terms of responsibility of what we are going to be receiving from you, are you the DDG responsible for this thing, 57 and 77 of the tracking document?
No, on the 57, the coordination role in particular, yes, it's under the branch that I'm leading.
77?
I led at ODG, but Bridget is leading the relocation of the, especially the functions from the DTI to Department of Small Business Development. So she's the one who's interacting with DPSA.
Jeff Yena, is he accompanying or he has a responsibility? Because we also need to look at the wasteful expenditure.
Chair, I'm only designated to deal with the CBDA. That's the one that I will be responding to. I am responsible for that one.
Okay.
Honourable members, we prepared two presentations. One is dealing in general with the items 57 and 77 of the tracking tool, and then Jeff will talk quickly on the CBDA and the department issues in particular, so he came to deliver a presentation on that one and respond to questions. The second slide is just a presentation outline touching on the issues that we are going to talk to through this presentation. On the background...
You said when you are the acting DG, and also all this falls under the branch yard. Yes.
CBDA stuff falls under Jeff's branch.
If the CBDI falls under a branch of Jeff, who Jeff will report up man?
ODG.
Okay. I think I'm going to put the money on today.
She will talk to the issues towards the end where we're talking about the relocation of the functions that are with the Department of Trade and Industry that are supposed to come to the Department of Small Business Development. She's the person who's discussing with DPSA and the DTI.
Because you are representing the DG, your responsibility was, I'm leading the delegation, this is my responsibility, so-and-so accounts to me, and so-and-so does not account to me. And then Jeff will deal with this, I will deal with this, and the project is going to deal with this, so that we can know. Okay. When we are talking of non-performance, who is the person that is actually doing that? And why is that person not being reprimanded?
No, it's understood, Chair. We're going to be talking to Resolution 57 and Resolution 77. We've listed the issues that are on the tracking tool that we'll be talking to in our presentation. Then the next slide, on the coordination role, as a Department of Small Business Development, we've established an interdepartmental coordinating committee. And it's made up of all those government departments that are listed there. And in terms of the functioning of the structure, we meet once per quarter, and the attendance is fairly good because most of those government departments do attend the meetings consistently. And then the next slide just briefly talks about the role of this department, because we're looking at the whole of government, what each and every government department is doing in supporting small businesses as well as the cooperatives. So we use this structure to make sure that whatever their plans are interrogated at this level, because we must admit that some of the funding and resources are still with these different government departments. So we use this structure to just to make sure that whatever they are planning addresses the issues that are raised by the SMEs and cooperatives, and to make sure that they also participate in the discussions that we have with the sector when it comes to issues, for example, like research, policy, legislation, and other matters. We also advocate for small businesses and cooperatives in these departments' respective mandates to make sure that there are opportunities there that are created for our small businesses as well as cooperatives. The next slide just talks to some of the issues that we've made some progress in through this structure. For example, the CIDB, which is the Construction Industry Development Board, they came to us to present their systems, the way they work. We were able to interrogate that and make sure that at least there are linkages between CIDA construction incubators and the CIDB systems. The Department of Public Works, they have a Public Works Academy that they have just started. We pushed for closer collaboration with CIDA Construction Incubator, as well as their Contractor Incubator Program, because we don't want government departments doing their own things, whereas we, as Department of Small Business Development, are driving a particular agenda in improving the small businesses and cooperatives. We had a chance where, because some departments, I think it's the work that they are doing around SMMEs and cooperatives is quite new. For example, Department of Human Settlements, they came to us to share how, you know, they were able to localize procurement opportunities. When you're talking about localizing here, we're not just talking about the country, but we're talking about localizing it in that particular municipalities where they were doing the work, which was Nelson Mandela Bay, as well as the one in Pietermaritzburg, I think it's Mkungundlovu. We also had an opportunity to interact with them, because it's quite critical that whatever interventions we do at different spheres of government, we follow the IGR framework. So we're able to share experiences on how you can utilize the IGR framework to make sure that you are able to work in harmony with other spheres of government. As part of the coordination role, on the next slide, we're just talking about the work that we are doing through the 9-point plan, which is driven at an SA cluster. I have colleagues here. Jeff is part of the team that participate in the SA cluster representing the department. There we presenting the aspirations of 2019, the challenges that have been identified by SMMEs and cooperatives, as well as the key interventions that we've introduced to address these. So we report on these at a cluster level and also seek support from other government departments to make sure that we are able to address these challenges that have been raised by SMMEs. And then the following slide talks to the challenges as well as the proposed solutions that are being introduced. I think one that I can touch on, for example, is the access to finance challenge, where as government we've reached a decision that we need to have an enterprise development fund that will focus on a gap, which is enterprises that are at an ideation as well as startup phase, because that's the gap that we've identified, that there's no like DFI or government department that support entities that are at that particular phase. So we are at an advanced stage where we are discussing with National Treasury, Department of Science and Technology, to come up with the fund that will address that particular gap. There are also issues that we are touching on around public procurement, looking at getting opportunities for SMEs and cooperatives in military bases, for example, Department of Defense. We are having ongoing engagements with them so that we can open up these opportunities for our small businesses and cooperatives. Then the next slide talks to issues around legislation that is being discussed at cluster level. The procurement bill in particular, which is of critical importance for us as a Department of Small Business Development, because since the president at the time announced that 30% of the expenditure by the public sector will go to SMEs and cooperatives. The National Treasury has been instructed to come up with a procurement bill, but as a stopgap measure, we had procurement regulations that were proclaimed and became effective from the 1st of April 2017 to make sure that in the meantime, while they are still busy with the process of developing a public procurement bill, which will totally repeal the triple PFA, we have some temporary measures that we implement to make sure that the 30% procurement set aside policy is implemented. And then on the next slide, we're also talking about the legislation, which is the amendment of the National Small Enterprise Act, the Cooperative Development Act, which is being reviewed. We are in the process. I think consultations have started. We should be moving with speed this year to make sure that we cover some ground before the bill is introduced in Parliament. On the next slide, the specific issue that has been raised by SMEs and cooperatives is access to finance. We are doing quite some work. The Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation is driving the process of reviewing all the incentives that are within government because we need to check the effectiveness of these incentives and see what can be done to improve their accessibility to the small business and cooperatives. We expect the draft report by the end of this quarter, which is quarter four of 2017-18. And then the below line, we're talking about the Small Business and Innovation Fund that we are working on with Department of Science and Technology. There's also another process that is being undertaken by a National Treasury to look at the whole DFI system. Because there is that cry, I think, from the SMMEs that these DFIs, even though they have the support instruments, but the accessibility of these instruments is quite a challenge. Also, there is a serious issue that we are dealing with the Department of Trade and Industry on the implementation of the BBBE codes, because the cry from the sector in particular is that most of the funding that goes that is supposed to go to the development of SMMEs through enterprise and supplier development goes to the consultants instead of going straight to the SMMEs and cooperatives. So it's an issue that we are looking at a cluster level to coordinate the work and make sure that there is an impact when it comes to the intervention that goes to our SMMEs and cooperatives. Mm-hmm. Then the other slide, the next slide, talks to market access for cooperatives in particular. Because this is one of the issues that has been raised, because if you fund cooperatives but you don't assist them in opening up market access opportunities, it's a waste of resources, in fact. So we are working with quite a number of structures, the other government departments, the private sector, to open up these market access opportunities for cooperatives. And there are initiatives that we are doing in that regard to make sure that there is some movement and we achieve some impact in terms of developing our small businesses and cooperatives. Then the next slide talks to the informal sector in particular. I think this is an indication that we're also taking the informal sector seriously. There have been issues that have been raised, particularly with our red tape interventions, and one of the main issues that was raised in the last year's National LED Conference that we co-hosted with COGDA was the issue of the bylaws, that they need to be simplified and the municipalities need to consult as much as possible with the informal businesses in particular. So those are the issues that we are dealing with at the cluster level to try and address the challenges that are faced by the informal sector as part of our coordinating role. Then the next slide just talks to the mandate paper. Here we're just indicating, Chair and Honourable Members, that Cabinet in August 2017 adopted the mandate paper and identified key priorities and focus areas for the next financial year. It's encouraging that job creation and small business development is priority number one. and the implementation of 30% set-aside localization, integrated community development, and community-based works is something that the whole of government is expected to focus on. Even in their planning and budgeting, this should be prioritized. So it's work that is being driven at a cabinet level to prioritize small businesses and cooperatives. Then, Chair, the next slide talks to, it responds directly to Resolution 77, where we were directed to engage with National Treasury on these matters. One is the cession of contracts, which is an issue that was raised by CIFA in particular, that they need support because they are struggling to recover money that they advance to small businesses and cooperatives. The DG had initiated discussions with National Treasury DG on this matter. We had also prioritized it as part of the agenda items for the meeting that was supposed to take place between the two ministers in January this year. But it's still part of the agenda. As soon as the meeting takes place, we'll be able to come back to the committee and report on the outcomes of those discussions, because it's quite a critical issue for us to make sure that CIFA is sustainable and the impairment ratio is reduced. Then the next issue is that of the review of the triple PFA. The preferential procurement regulations were introduced as of the 1st of April. The regulations have assisted us to make some headway. One, for example, is compulsory subcontracting, that for any contract from 30 million and above, it's compulsory to subcontract, and there are also pre-qualification issues that are also being pushed to make sure that SMMEs and cooperatives are able to benefit from this. The pre-qualification, for example, they include the issues around township and rural enterprises, that they must be prioritized in whatever tender enterprises get from government. The public procurement bill is at an advanced stage. Once enacted, it will also serve as a single national regulatory framework for public procurement, so everyone will be expected to follow it to the latter. It will repeal the Preferential Procurement Policy Framework Act, which has been the issue, especially with our sector, which is small businesses, that is not assisting them to get opportunities from the public sector. Then on the next slide, talking about the implementation of the 30% set-aside policy, we do get information from the National Treasury on a quarterly basis, and we discuss this at this National Interdepartmental Coordinating Committee as well as the Interprovincial Coordinating Committee meetings, because we want to check whether these government departments, are they already implementing 30% set-aside, and who's performing and who's having challenges around implementing this policy directive. For example, other provinces were able to share with us their experiences. I think Free State, for example, they were telling us that they have a structure at a provincial level which looks at each and every government tender to make sure that 30% is implemented. But the information that we get from the National Treasury through the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer has some shortcomings. So we are discussing or finalizing the MOU with them, because we want to, for example, to have access to the information on CSD, not just the information that they are sharing with us, but it should be structured in a particular way, because we want to, for example, have access to the distribution of opportunities, contractor and tender award information. We also want to make sure that they give us information that goes down to the details in terms of the industries. It must also drill down to the district level, because we've learned that some other government departments, when you ask them why are they not assisting SMEs, they will tell you that we don't know who's operating in this particular sector, in that particular area. So we want to have access to the information to that level, so that we can always be ready to give them guidance in terms of the SMEs and cooperatives that are located in particular districts. Then on the next slide, Chair, we're just giving feedback, because the Portfolio Committee called DPSA to come and an account on the progress on the organizational structure of the department, and there were certain recommendations that were made. We had a meeting with DPSA to look at how those issues should be addressed, and we had a couple of meetings which culminated in us having one meeting between DPSA, DSPD, and the DTI. So DPSA is really acting as a mediator because the, as a Department of Small Business Development, we always point out some of the functions that are remaining with the DTI, which are supposed to be with us. So the following slides, Chair, they're talking to the specific meetings that we had that were chaired by the DPSA, where, for example, in this meeting that took place on the 13th of November, departments were asked to go back and do an analysis and determine the actual numbers of posts that were supposed to be transferred from DSPD to the from Department of Trade and Industry to the Department of Small Business Development, and it came out that the initial number was supposed to be 189. And then we scheduled another meeting where we looked at these posts and what are the gaps are. And then in the meeting that we had on the 29th of November, we looked at the, for example, we started with the core functions. We know that we're supposed to get 189 posts, but 24 posts that were supposed to come from the export development function in particular and skills for the economy. Very few posts came. I think it's four posts came to the Department of Small Business Development, and those particular individuals went back to the DTI. Some officials, for example, they asked to be transferred to DSPD, and then they went back to Department of Trade and Industry. But some of these, especially the officials who went back, they went back, but the budget remained with the Department of Small Business Development. But what we discovered is that the final number of employees that were transferred from the DTI to DSPD is 166. I think the next slide talks to what I've just spoken about, particularly on the function of export development, that five employees ended up being transferred to Department of Small Business Development. Then during that meeting, it was decided that we should develop some sort of a review of the value chain of the services that is supposed to be offered by the Department of Small Business Development as well as the DTI, because there was an argument that if we take particular functions, we break the service delivery model of the DTI. So we did that exercise, and the results were submitted to DPSA on the 31st of January. And it was also decided in that particular meeting that there should be a DG-to-DG meeting to discuss and finalize this matter because it's really dragging. So there needs to be that DG-to-DG meeting to just deal and finalize this matter together with DPSA. Then on the next slide, we're talking to Program 1, which is administration. Initially, the DTI indicated that they'll transfer 10% of the Program 1 post, which makes up a total of 50 posts. But we ended up having 15 posts or 15 employees transferred. The 21, I think the Department of Small Business Development declined and proposed that the DTI transfer other employees. But unfortunately, that did not materialize because there were some issues, I think, with the particular individual that were being transferred to the Department of Small Business Development. But as a department, because you cannot function, especially without the chief financial officer, the corporate services function, so we prioritized those, and some of the funding that remained when the employees went back to the DTI was reallocated to these critical functions for the department. So the gap analysis was conducted on Program 1, and a draft structure was finalized and it's been discussed with the DPSA by the 31st of January. And then on the next slide, Chair, is just an outcome of the analysis that was conducted. Like I indicated, there were 15 pools that were committed and received on under Program 1 from DTI to DUSBD. 17 pools were committed but were never received. So in terms of the gap analysis that has been conducted, DUSBD will require 24 pools for Program 1 to function efficiently. So the DPSA has indicated that they will look at the service delivery model and look at our requirements and then come back and make those recommendations to the DGs, which will take place as soon as the process of analysis by DPSA is concluded. Then the next slide, Chair, it talks to directly to the recommendations that were made by the PC and how we've responded as a Department of Small Business Development. The first one is linking of the organizational structure to the mandate of the department. We've looked at our service delivery model, and we are finalizing the process of redesigning the organizational structure, which is aligned to the strategic plan and service delivery model. And then the coordination role that we are expected to play in relation to other government departments, where we are trying to make sure that every government department that has a budget that talks to SMMEs, really they do the right thing and follow the strategy that has been adopted by the department. I've spoken to the issues around that. We've drafted a business case outlining the rationale for submission to the Department of Public Service and Administration. We'll be finalizing the job evaluation process for all the posts under that structure. And then the proposed structure is presented on the next page, Chair, where we're going to have three branches, one which is branch two, which will look really at sector policy and research. That is where the coordination function is being driven from. And then we have branch three, which is integrated cooperative development, because we thought all the interventions centered around cooperatives are centered under one branch rather than spreading them all over the department. And then the last one talks to enterprise development and entrepreneurship, where all SMMEs and informal business issues will be handled by that particular branch. And then we have the support directorates, which is the Office of the Chief Financial Officer, as well as the Corporate Services Chief Directorate, which will handle all the administrative matters. Chair, the presentation, the next slide is it's about the CBDA and DSBD, and I'll request Jeff to quickly take the portfolio committee through that presentation, because we thought that issue has some matters that needs to be discussed, and Jeff is the perfect person to assist us with that presentation.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm going to start with the question you raised, which is to say, I must account where was I when the CBDA were presenting here. I want to start by saying that I am the deputy chair of the CBDA. I sit there, and I was designated by the minister to sit in the CBDA, and then I got to be appointed as a deputy chair there. I'm also a chairperson for the Stabilization Fund Committee. I am heading that committee that looks at dealing with issues of liquidity for cooperatives. There is a fund that is created to address the liquidity issues. Therefore, when the CBDA was here to present to yourself, I was supposed to have accompanied them, not only just as a member of the Department of Small Business, but also as a member of that particular board, and then heading all the structures that I've nominated there. On that date, I was sick. I just fell sick. That is the only reason. I've got a sick note with the DG. I fell sick, and then I was supposed to come then. That's how I missed that particular meeting. I wish I was there. And most of the issues that I'm going to talk to are issues which both jointly ourselves and even also the CBDA within that structure are issues that we're agreeing on that needs to be addressed, and then we've already agreed, because we're partnering there, as to how to go about addressing
that. Can we take the turn from
No. Thank you, Chairperson. We don't have the presentation yet. Okay. Yeah, I got it. Thank you.
Before you continue, Chair, I want to understand. On that day when we called the CBDA and you fell sick, did you fall sick after having prepared this report? And if that is the case, are you the only one in your unit who was capable of presenting this on that day? You're the only one?
Unfortunately, that's true, Chair, because I'm the only one who sits on those structures, personally. And that's the truth of the matter.
You are the only one who sits on those structures.
Yes.
But then, e-communication, you sit there also, because ECBDA is supporting the mandate of the department, meaning that when you have been to those meetings, then in the meeting of the management now, of the DGGs, that is what when I would report about in that meeting, which will then make it possible that somebody else would stand in for you if you are sick. Because when you are sick, the department is not sick with you. The department has to carry on doing its work. You know why I'm asking this question? We are wasting time, because we listened to the CBDA, Noma Proposal. We needed to balance that with the understanding of the department. Okay. You then sat in those meetings and came back to the department to report. What was the thinking in the department that you are then coming to advance here? So that when we are asking questions from the CBDA, we are also able to balance the information with the information that comes from the department. And instead of spending two different days getting information from the CBDA about the same thing, and then get the information from the department on another day about the same thing. Because now we need to go back and read. And then spend another day, since these are season Shanghanese, bring you together now. For us to be able to respond to those things that need our intervention. Something that we could have done in one day.
Chair, apologies on that score. Apologies sincerely. It was not the intention whatsoever to create that confusion. I think it just happened, and we will make sure next time it doesn't.
But the point that I'm pointing here,
yes,
Jeff,
yeah,
is right on top at the head. Point to the DG. Okay, how does the DG lead the department and make sure that there is alignment and also short circuit time, and not subject the portfolio committee to discussing one and the same matter?
Chair, the point that I'm going to raise, I will just start with some of the challenges that we're dealing with, together with National Treasury, because in that committee, in that CBDA, we sit, it is the Department of Small Business, it is the National Treasury, and then also we have the some of the members that are appointed within the board who are not necessarily members of the department, but some of them comes from the cooperatives itself, which is the CFIs, and then they sit in the board as well as also some of the other members that are just nominated by the Minister of Finance. Chair, the issues there that are coming out the top is the lack of participation of CFIs in the national payment system. And in resolving that point, we then commissioned for the banking platform project to be developed, and therefore there were issues of funding, which then we then sourced funding from CIFA, and then 10 million from our department was then given to CBDA to drive the process of establishing the banking platform. In that particular regard, it is a way of responding to bring CFIs and cooperative banks into the national payment system. That is what the banking platform are all about. And then also, it is also just to the national payment system where cooperatives can do transaction with on their businesses, where they could also, if they are dealing with savings with their members, they can then be able to, their members access their money, they could even access them through the payment system of the main bank, where they could go into the, those, where like even if you are saving with a bank, you can go into those, what do you call them, ATMs, you withdraw the money, and the bank, the cooperative banks are not brought into that system, and we want them to be part of that system if really they're going to have a competitive edge in really growing, so that they can be able to provide those professional services on transactions and payment of transactions and all of that kind of stuff. That's what it is all about. Okay. And then the other issues, of course, is that the systems, back office systems of the CFIs are also, they've not been brought into the technology to be able to do it professionally using IT and all of that. So that banking platform, it also addresses the way we've designed it to address the back office and give them all the IT systems to be able to then do all their businesses as CFIs. And then the other point that we are addressing is the issue of the Cooperative Banks Act itself. There were, when the Bank Act in 2007 was promulgated and it was passed into law, there were certain clauses that are turning out to be very restrictive to cooperatives, particularly your CFIs. One of them is the one where that that law insists that for CFIs to save their monies, the CFIs, they need to save them to the four banks. And in saving them into the four banks, they then expose themselves, they are exposing themselves to high charges of the four banks. And that in that regard, it becomes very costly for them to their members, because those costs then cascade to their members in that particular regard. So therefore, there is a need to have alternative ways to address that particular aspect. Therefore, there is a need to amend the Act and allow CFIs to bank where they want to bank. Since there is an agenda to create a national cooperative bank, then it will then serve them better if they are able to put their monies into the national cooperative bank, which will charge them far much more lesser amount than would be the case with the four banks. So those are the issues also that we are addressing with the National Treasury in that regard. National Treasury have started a process of amending the Cooperative Banks Act, and those issues, they are then dealing with them within that amendment. So that is the aspect with respect to the Cooperative Banks Act. And then the other issue is the issue of the establishment of the National Cooperative Bank itself. Currently, the system operates that National Cooperative Bank must be created by the corporate CFIs coming together through a secondary and the APEX body, and then through that particular mechanism, then they establish the National Cooperative Bank. There are two banks that are existing currently, but their size and scale are not at the level that is required to be able really to provide the competitiveness to the cooperative. Therefore, there is a proposal that we need to look at really joining those banks into one national bank, and then also have maybe government to assist to provide some capitalization into that bank as going to be a national bank, like it happens in Kenya, as I think you will be visiting in Kenya. I hope you will also visit that National Cooperative Bank of Kenya, which also was assisted by government in Kenya to be able to be established. And there is a view that we need also to ask government to assist the establishment of the National Cooperative Bank. That is the issue, as a way of also providing as a risk mitigation aspect also to the CFIs as going to be a lender of last resort, because that bank could also be to get save the monies of the CFIs, but it could also provide them with loans, and it lends them when they are also in a particular crisis so that they come out of it. So there is a need for that National Cooperative Bank. And then the other issue which we are engaging with there, Chair, is the establishment for a deposit insurance fund, which will also be part of insuring all the assets and also the cooperative banks and also the CFIs. So there is the proposal on that. A National Treasury are doing a study on that particular aspect to explore means and ways, because this is within their mandate to drive that particular aspect, and we're working with them, and then they are doing some feasibility study to look at how we can then establish this deposit insurance fund, which is required to provide funding for CFIs and cooperative banks that are going to be established. And then there is an issue also on the stabilization fund that I'm leading. I'm the chair there. It's about government provided funds to the stabilization fund to the tune of about 1.5 million there. But that money, we've come to realize that it's not adequate. It can be just wiped out by two transactions for it. It's not very much adequate. We've created a mechanism where both members of cooperatives, which CFIs were saying to them, they must contribute to the stabilization fund and pay a particular fee as members. But at the same time, also, we think that we need to increase that particular capital base of the stabilization fund so that there is enough money. We've also mobilized CIFA to play a role in this area to assist with those requirements, where if we've got cooperatives that have liquidity challenges, then CIFA can then come and provide them with loans. So CIFA also sits in the committee of the CBDA for that particular aspect as well. Chair, the issue of the bank, that the cooperative, to construct the National Cooperative Bank, it needs a number of work that needs to be done. We need to develop a National Cooperative Bank strategy, which then allow the state to be able to provide fiscal support to the establishment of the National Cooperative Bank. We need also to amend the Cooperatives Bank Act, where some of the requirements for CFIs to qualify and put their savings under the four banks will then be rescinded, those clauses, so that cooperatives can then save their money, in fact, to a National Cooperative Bank, and in that way grow the National Cooperative Bank. And then the other one also, we need to looking at providing support to cooperatives so that they start using, and we encourage them so that even the cooperatives, not the ones that are in the financial sector, but the broader cooperative movement, to provide and start saving within the CFIs and saving within the cooperative bank. And in that way, if we encourage them, then they, that could then grow the CFIs and the cooperative bank in that regard. Because at the moment, the extent to which cooperatives themselves are using the CFIs and the cooperative bank is very limited. It's something that we need to drive to that agenda. That in that way, we could grow the cooperative banks and the cooperative bank in South Africa and the CFIs. And then lastly, Chair, the issue that is under discussion, there is a Twin Peak legislation that National Treasury has introduced. In that Twin Peak legislation, the implication of it to the CBDA was that all regulation now, particularly the regulator of the CFIs, which used to sit in the CBDA, has now been moved to be in the cooperative and to be in the Reserve Bank. That's where it is. Now, what is left in the CBDA, you've got, because CBDA used to have three activities. There was a capacity building, there was a regulator there who was regulating and registering cooperatives, CFIs, and then there was also the payment system, the platform that we're driving and implementing. So the regulator is now being moved to the Reserve Bank. So what is left is only the capacity building and also this banking platform. Those are the two activities. And then also CBDA was not allowed, in terms of policy, to provide funding for CFIs, which then made it difficult for it to be able to play a role in supporting the development of CFIs through financial support. So as a result of that, then that's why there is an amendment also on the Act in that aspect as well. But also what we are then proposed as the Department of Small Business is that this is a proposal that we're putting forward, that there is a necessity to merge CBDA and CDA, the Cooperative Development Agency and the Cooperative Bank Development Agency. Because what is left today is only the issue of capacity building, support services, as well as the development of the platform that I talked about, the banking platform. So then we are proposing that, and National Treasurer is entertaining and discussing at minister level for that proposal. And if it flies, then we're going to be moving towards merging those two agencies instead of having them two. Because, I mean, what is left is very minimal within the... And then, once we've included the issue of financial support also for CFIs, then the CDA, joined with CBDA as one agency, then will then provide both financial support, and then they'll also provide non-financial support in the form of capacity building to CFIs. So that is a proposal that we're making in that regard, and then I think it has been received. I engaged with DDG Monmoit in National Treasury on that issue, and I think they are engaging on it, and then very soon we might have one position which will be articulated when the two ministers, our ministers, there is a pending meeting, when the two ministers are meeting, then we will have those agreements being reached, then we can then start implementing them practically on our side. And then I think, Chair, those are the issues in summary that I want to thank you, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any addition that you would want to make? Or you would respond to question? Then the opportunity for members to ask questions. We are actually targeting to be out of here at 12 so that we give members enough time to go to lunch because there is a budget speech at 2. Okay. You said you were the first one.
Yes.
Followed by Honorable Nation.
Start with me because I will leave it here first. We have a caucus
for this minister.
No, but we must do something. Okay, can I start?
Is that agreeable, Honourable Members? But first, let me acknowledge the hands so that I won't go back. And then when I have taken all the hands down, we will then go to Honourable Law. I said Honourable Silva, followed by Honourable Neshe, Honourable Kappa, Honourable Chan, Honourable Mwabe, then Begwa, Mtembu, and Maba. In that
order. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks to the acting DG. Yeah, although we received this presentation today, because the Secretariat, as from yesterday, they didn't get in the thing to forward it to us so that we can prepare. So I have some few questions here, Chairperson, which I need to be cleared by the DG. So the presentation was about the faction aligned to the mandate of the department. At page 4, you list the national department which you created an interdepartmental coordination committee. But this committee, it is exclusive to other departments. You have only 24 departments here, instead of 35 departments, because the Department of SNDF is not there, and the Health and Justice and others. So I thought maybe this Department of Small Business is going to coordinate all the departments, whatever is happening there to their budget, which can be related to the small business. That's your interest there. So when you create this committee and exclude other departments, I want to know what was the reason. And again, in this committee, there is nothing about the SOEs, state-owned enterprise, where there is a lot of fiscals of government, where the money is being siphoned, you see, in the previous administration, as you know. The president said it's a new dawn. So what is your plan now about the state-owned enterprises in terms of them participating on the development of the small businesses and cooperatives? Because they are not in this committee. Hence, there is a lot of fiscals which is going there. At page 8, you... About the challenges you said in transversal and partnership agreements. You said there is a limited intergovernmental cooperation and coordination together with the fragmented planning. What this department was made in 2014 in order to make sure that there is no fragmentation in planning in terms of the transversal agreement and partnership. But here is still a challenge to the department now, 4 years old department, to deal with coordinating the other departments about the function which is happening there. What is the problem in terms of limited intergovernmental cooperation and this fragmentation you are talking about? At page 9, about the Office of the Chief Procurement
said the existing transversal agreement, make example of the BMW and Vodacom, which was concluded in April last year, is not even providing that 30% of localization. So I want to know the department, what is the plan of the department in order for the private sectors or the sister department and the state-owned companies to comply with this 30%? Is just a talk show, or is there any plan to make a legislation in order to bite, to have teeth for those who are not to comply with the 30%, as you made an example here by Vodacom and BMW? At page 9 again, there is, in terms of the intensified local procurement, you said the department is just saying it will only introduce a local motto of all government job adverts that will talk about supporting the local business people, more especially the SME. But is this radical in terms of what we said, radical economic transformation, just to depend on adverts for local SME to be empowered? Do you think, is it enough? So let's go to page 14. Page 14. Reverend, page 14, yeah, which is very important. At number 4, point number 4, when we talk about the resolution of the cabinet mandate paper, when you said about the land reform and agricultural development. Yeah, thank you. The president is talking the language of expropriating the land. So what is the department's plan in terms of capacitating the small business and cooperatives? Because the land will come, but without a plan in terms of empowering our cooperatives towards the land, which is going to be expropriated, the department must have a plan in terms of this. Last question, Reverend Niswe, is about the structure. Your structure is page 24. Your proposed organizational org structure. There's no DG here and DDG. So can you explain for us? Do you want a new structure without a DG and a DDG, which is under the chief directorate, like the chief directors, or do you mean the chief directorate will be the DG? So want a clarity here in this organizational structure. And all of this presentation of yours is not talking about the finances, which must be moved from maybe irrelevant department or irrelevant way it is to come to the department in order to be focused to the small SME and cooperatives. From page 17 to page 24, it's all about staff and post. It's like now you are a union. You are concerned about your positions and the position of other colleagues. But what about the money and the functions which must benefit the cooperative and small business? Because you are not talking about them here. It's all about position from page 17 up to page 24. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Krug, can I advise that let us reserve some of the questions for oral reply in the House and not ask everything here? Honorable Krug.
Yes, Madam Chair. Yeah. Just two or three points. Last week, the department showed us a presentation about the new operations of the department, if I'm correct. I can't remember what they call it. They had a name for it, if I'm correct. What was it called? Is this document based on that presentation of last week? Because I see, you know, some of the things is not corresponding with the presentation. That's my first question. The second question is, somewhere in the presentation is talk about the effort of the department to reduce red tape. And I know for a fact for the past 2 years there was no effort, especially in municipalities, local government. So I don't understand why we talk about the effort and there's no effort. So I would like to hear more about the effort and, of course, the successes of the red tape. And then the last question about the cooperative banks. I think we need to wait until we change the act on cooperative banking, because we can't do anything because, you know, the planning and everything must be aligned to the act. So I think we waste a lot of time try to plan and arrange meetings and everything if the act is not in place. So my proposal is that let's get the act in place as soon as possible, because this is one thing of this department, one of the challenges of this department, of let's say weak points, if you look at the SWOT analysis, is that we're not keen on legislation. I mean, we're only going to do our first act next year in the final quarter, and I don't think we're going to have time for that, because next year we're going to run elections. But in any case, so let's push whichever department is going to finalize this act, so that we can see that this act is finalized, and let this department or this committee also have inputs in that act, that they bring the draft act to this committee. Thank you, Manjie.
Thank you, Chairperson. We have been informed that Cabinet has decided to prioritize small businesses and cooperatives. So I want to ask whether the budget today is going to reflect that. And it also obviously would be unfortunate that when this decision has been made, that the DG will not be available to ensure that it does happen, because it is a decision of Cabinet. And secondly, the 24 listed departments here that we are told are meant to promote and support the growth and development of small businesses. What I want to know from this is whether transversal agreements have been signed with all these departments. And if not, how are they going to support and how are they going to promote and support the growth and development of SPD? The next one has to do with the employees. Page 20 speaks about 5 employees who were transferred to the DBSD, the DSBD, but 6 months later, they went back to DDI. I want to know whether there is a problem with is there a spook that they saw in this department? Why did they run away only after 6 months? And then page 19, 9 employees have requested to be transferred back to DDI. Why such a high turnover of employees from DDI? What are they running from? And is that a problem that can be addressed? Lastly, the stabilization fund that Jeff spoke about says cooperatives will be encouraged to contribute at a fee. What fee are we looking at, more or less? Are we not going to put an unnecessary burden on cooperatives, as we know that many of them are struggling?
Honorable Papa.
Thank you, Chair. If
any of my questions here you feel it is not going to be answered here, but at a later stage you'll assist me. But here, let me start with the one on 15, where we talk about the public procurement deal, which is referred to be at an advanced stage. I would like to know how far is this advanced? What do you mean by this advanced stage? Including to know whether there's a targeted date that we, or according to our plans, by this date the bill will be an act. The next one will be on slide 20. You talk about the meeting that was to be held, and there was something to be submitted by the 31st January. Did this happen? Maybe I missed it when you were reporting. That is on 20. Yes, maybe I missed it on the report, where it is said, decided that SPDI will develop their service delivery models respectively and submit those by 31st January 2018. And then there's further now on that same paragraph, this DG to DG meeting, to whether this did happen. And the next one will be on your structure. This structure, I would be happy if you would have it there. As Honorable Mlaud was saying, on your structure, the first thing is that what I noticed is that part where he says there's no DG there. My assumption was that the DG is on that part where he said the Department of Small Business and Development. But my first worry there was the way the linear was happening, as if the minister, the deputy minister accounts to the minister, and then the DG accounts to the deputy minister. That, I'm not sure about that arrangement. That's the first part of it. Now, the second part of it is, when you go below that Department of Small Business and Development, which I assume the DG is there, I thought maybe the second layer would be these directorates, three of them, which I thought the three of them would be in the same level. And then below, you have these branches. But now we have branch 2, 3, and 4. I suppose that there is branch 1, which I didn't maybe pick up here, which is one of those six directories. So just to know which one is branch 1 before you come to 3, 2, 3, and 4. My other question would be, what do we think can be done to fast track this process of transition from DTI to small business, which seems to be permanent? Is there no way that it can stop being a permanent, continuous, gradual transition, and that is the time then it is that is done? Or else, are there any obstacles that are there that can be identified and maybe which this committee can address? Now, the last one is, because unfortunately we are here on different levels. We as members were here until 2019. You as the department, you are here forever. And it's not a problem, it's because of your contract, renewable contract. But now, are all these things possible in the fifth parliament? That is a concern now to us as members. Are all these things that are proposed here, planned, possible in the fifth parliament? To us, it has an impact. But to you, it can happen even in 10 years, as long as we have planned it. You say it's a process, it's what they call it, work in progress and so on. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I would only have one question to Upo Jeff, since most of my questions have been covered by my colleagues. and I will not want to repeat them. On page 4 of your document, you spoke about the two banks existing. I don't know whether you are referring to cooperative banks existing. That needs to be meshed. So I need clarity on that one, whether I get you well. If is that the case, one would have to know what, how those banks have assisted the co-ops thus far. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you, Chair. Mine is just very few. Yesterday when I was listening to the President to his response, he mentioned one thing that is very critical. He said all of us should focus on making sure that we're changing people's life for the better. I think one of the departments is that should to focus on that is this small business department. I'm just looking at this document, so I'm trying to find out this radical thing of transforming the economy. It's like what Babacar has said. He said, no, it's a work in progress. There's no radical on it. But I always concern about the impact. Does this that we are just presenting today have an impact into what the President has asked yesterday? Are we all on one path of, are we focusing on changing people's life for the better? Especially those that has been disadvantaged, because what is the ANC government is trying to do is dealing with the imbalances of the past. Are we as the department on the same path? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, following on your remarks, as you were also following on President's speech, his honor, about the new dawn, new beginning, I hope that the department will also change its mindset. They will also do things as also following from Honorable they were here in terms of being radical, understanding that what do we mean about being radical? Whatever that we do, we are to be indeed radical. Mine is to just appreciate on the slide 11, but also it's a concern because, you know, they do give us presentation, but actions are not, do not speak to these presentations in terms of time frames and the like, in terms of reviewing the acts that are in place and what have you. But what I will welcome is the SADC simplified trade regime, whereby you're going to stimulate cross-border trade and open up markets to SMEs and cooperatives. That is welcome because our people, in most of the time, you find that they engage themselves in these uprisings because they want these opportunities. And they tend to limit themselves in municipal opportunities only. They don't think beyond what they their jurisdictions sometimes, you know. So if the department will do that and educate our people, make them to think big, you know, beyond the scope in terms of their area of jurisdiction in terms of their municipalities, you know, that there are opportunities that they can. So that I want to see happening in my lifetime, you know. It cannot be as good to when will be that we need to push this with the speed. Another thing, the 30% set aside, as in the presentation, Ubabala mentioned that they've went to provinces, you know, asking for data in terms of when do they adhere to this 30% set aside. By when, and you know, and he has said they don't get answers. Why will you not have answers? It's because of the corruption that is there. We are to be honest with that, because if people are to be awarded sometimes jobs in terms of having tendered, sometimes the issue of
they are expected to pay before they are awarded those jobs. And sometimes when they are to be paid, they are also expected to pay for them to be paid for the job that they've, for the services that they have rendered. So it's not because sometimes there are those difficulties and what is you. It's because of the corruption that is also there. So we are also to confront that issue of corruption and deal with it. We are to defeat it. As Ubab Misho was asking, Guti, what are the spooks that are there in small business for people to be living? It's also the issue of corruption sometimes. It's not that because they are used to the things, the activities, you know, they are comfortable where they're coming from. So if they are to be in a new area whereby they are expected to deliver as we are expecting as this portfolio committee, but because maybe it's a new thing to them and they are old habits, so they rather opt to go back to where they are familiar, where there's flexibility maybe sometimes. So these are the things that we are to really look at, what are the reasons mainly, you know. Because as we were doing oversight, things that we came across, you know, it was very eminent that there are corruption activities that are taking place. So we are to really, really deal with them, you know. So in my case, I believe that somewhere there is a level of corruption, not that there are spooks, as Honorable Misho had asked. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Comrade Chairperson. Commenting on the Cooperatives Banks Act Development Agency, on slide 3, the source of the liquidity support, because liquidity has to be adequate so that it confers confidence. How will that be achieved? Because once it's inadequate, that on its own is a message. It's a negative message. And then on slide 5, I am also worried about the adequacy of funding when we speak of just to increase from 1.5 million to 5 million in view of the challenges. Is that going to inspire? Is that going to confer confidence? Is that going to be adequate? Because I get the impression that once funding is inadequate, it gives a negative connotation to all participants. You know, they then start to have doubts. And shifting to the functions aligned to the mandate of DSBD, on slide 8, where we speak of the 30% equipping strategies, what mechanisms are being undertaken to make sure that the small businesses and the cooperatives that are to provide the required goods are adequately trained and are ready to provide adequate goods? Because we mustn't find that departments are ready we mustn't find that departments are ready to purchase from SMMEs and cooperatives, only to find that there is another frustration
where our SMMEs and cooperatives are not adequately supported to be able to render the quality and the quantity required. What measures are being undertaken to make sure that we don't have that disequilibrium? Then on slide 11, there is always a danger of overutilizing consultants. How can we make sure that the in-house equipping of the department addresses the issue of consultants so that we don't find ourselves overutilizing consultants? My last one, it's on slide 16. No, it's merely a repeat. Let me not repeat it, because I'm concerned again about the readiness to provide the 30% just so that our SMMEs and cooperatives are ready. What is the department doing to ensure that happens? Thanks, sir, colleague.
Okay. I'm sorry. I need to help. I'm sorry. Thanks.
Thank you. yes, I'll be brief because I'm covered by most of the questions that we've already had. Thank you for the presentations. Yes, the first comment is it's good that the department is focusing on its advocacy and coordination role, which had been recommended by this committee, but it's taking an awful long time. The snail's pace of this whole restructuring is just unbelievable. You know, similar to my comment last week to the minister about the penny dropping, it's just taking too long. My first question is, when do you expect the structure, as indicated, or whatever the final structure is decided upon, will be implemented? Do you have you set a target date, number one? And number two, have you set a target date to have those positions filled by permanent people, not acting people? Otherwise, we might find that this department is permanently acting until it's the end of the fifth parliament. The second question is, in terms of the president's intention to restructure government, and to reduce the number of departments, where does the department see itself fitting into any new structure? Does it have a view on that? And does it also have a view on the matter of the DFIs, maybe some sort of restructuring to stop the overlapping of roles of DFIs? Then finally, on the first presentation, why has the department only looked at moves from the DTI in terms of functions? If you look at the work that was done to show that the department's medium-term budget indicated expenditure of roughly $3.5 billion, but other government departments spend another $12 billion, which means that there's lots of departments doing the similar work to this department. So why wouldn't those functions also be moved into the Department of Small Business Development? In terms of the second presentation, I think that one of the points that was made when the CBDA presented was the problem of a top-down, government-driven approach as opposed to a bottom-up, community-stroke, cooperative development approach. And one of the problems with co-ops in this country, and one of the reasons why so much money has been wasted, is because it's been money-chasing co-ops, not the other way around. And so it's absolutely vital that the bank or banks, whenever they're formed, don't fall into the same trap. That then leads to the comment that would it not make sense to adopt a holistic approach to finance, which looks at grants, equity, and loans, and then that calls into question the position of the CSI, Cooperative CIS, Cooperative Incentive Scheme,
you know, you don't want to be just dishing out grants with one hand and dishing out loans with another hand. There has to be a coordinated approach to financing and support of co-ops, which then comes to the proposal that you have included in the presentation to merge the CBDA and the CDA. That, to me, does not make sense, because the CBDA is a supervisory body. It's not an agency of implementation. You cannot mix those two. It's a conflict of interest. And I would recommend that the CDA be put into CEDA, so it becomes the SECDA, Small Enterprises and Cooperatives Development Agency, which then aligns with the strategy within the department of having cooperatives and enterprises, you know, within one department. I really think that needs a rethink. Then the final point is, have you looked at the business model of Bank Zero, which is the app-based bank that's just been announced, chaired by Michael Jordan, the former CEO of FNB, as a possible model for the Cooperatives Development Bank, or the Cooperatives Bank, because in the era of the Fourth Industrial Revolution and technological change, it would significantly reduce the cost and make it more accessible if you had an app-based bank rather than a bank that's necessary got bricks and mortar, which is very expensive and takes a long time to set up. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. I also want to, in view of time, I also want to add my questions and my comments. And for those questions that you would not have responded to, we will follow up on them when we bring you back together with the Cooperative Bank Development Agency, because I got worried just when we were then presenting back the Cooperative Bank Development Agency together with you guys are working on development of the system. That's not their responsibility. They are now playing a referendum responsibility. Their responsibility is to regulate. They can't develop a platform. Yes, they can set parameters and framework for developing a platform, but they can't develop a platform. Even the National Cooperative Bank, the Cooperative Bank Development Agency cannot be a shareholder there. The Cooperative Bank Development Agency can provide a legal framework and a regulatory framework on how South Africa should establish a national cooperative bank. They cannot be directly involved in doing that. They regulate. So they are becoming a referee and a player. Then the questions that I would want to ask, the first one relates to slide number 4 on the presentation that was made by Lindo. It relates to the National Interdepartmental Coordinating Committee, which is made of the departments that are listed here. My first observation, the first thing that I would want to ask is whether there is a national accord in place that compels these identified national departments to do what they are supposed to do in relation to development of SMMEs and cooperatives. Because without that national accord, which identifies and clusters the departments which form the National Interdepartmental Coordinating Committee, and also brings in the agencies. It will be difficult to arrive at what exactly is this National Interdepartmental Coordinating Committee. I want to go back to the 2010 Soccer World Cup. There was a national accord which was signed. And the national accord was in relation to what is expected of each department, and the departments were clustered. And when I read the departments that are put here, they are not even in a sequence form which would tell you that the person who was writing here was actually thinking as to which departments are responding to what need of SMMEs and cooperatives. I want to make an example. I have clustered them in my own writing here, improving on what you have done. I start by saying what challenges are we responding to? And the challenges that we are responding to is poverty and unemployment. Those are the key challenges. And what has then happened in the country as a result of poverty and unemployment? There are departments which have assumed a responsibility of parents because of poverty and unemployment. And which are those departments? One of them is the Department of Social Development. The projection is that by 2020, the Department of Social Development will spend $175 billion on social grants. If that is the case, the country is going to be bankrupt. We are not building a developmental state. We are sustaining poverty through a welfare state, and we are spending more money on a welfare state instead of building a developmental state. In addition to that, another department that is shouldering that is Department of Culture. Municipalities which have got no revenue base because they are providing services to households that cannot afford to pay for services. And the next thing that we will see is the collapse of those municipalities because they will not be paying the SOEs that are supplying them with those services. They will not be, as we speak, there are municipalities that are not able to pay Eskom. They buy electricity from Eskom. They provide electricity to households that cannot afford to pay because there is no one who is employed and there is poverty. And that is not sustainable because what then happens, Eskom switches off the supply to the municipality and the municipality switches off the supply to everybody and the business sector pulls off from that municipality. The Department of Basic Education is providing this the National School Nutrition Program to assist children who are from poor families who leave home having not eaten anything, therefore fail to concentrate, and then government chips in and provides what is supposed to be provided by families to provide their children with food. Then the Department of Human Settlement, it's only South Africa that builds houses for people. The person who is supposed to build a house, father. If a father can't provide a house and it is even provided by a woman, mina la ngihlala khona kuthiwa akundoda yalutho usibani bani wakhela umuzi umfazi. So that intervention is not a developmental intervention, but it can be turned around to be a developmental intervention. Another department that is shouldering what is supposed to be provided by the parent is the Department of Transport, on scholar transport. My grandchildren are taken by my own children to school using their own transport. But there are poor people who are my neighbors whose children are using the scholar transport, government providing what is supposed to be provided by the parent. And if we are building a developmental state, we can't have the welfare side of the state having more, spending more money on the welfare side of the state. And this department is key to that, to facilitating a situation of shifting budget from the welfare side of expenditure and bring it to the developmental side of the expenditure. So I would have expected that. If you are talking about the National Interdepartmental Coordinating Committee, you would first specify how these departments were chosen and what is the change that we expect to effect through their participation in the National Interdepartmental Coordination Committee. Then there are infrastructure departments listed here, but they are not clustered. And also there is no mention as to why they are there. One of them is rural and land reform, because for SMMEs to develop and to be able to work, land becomes key. Water and sanitation infrastructure is required. Telecommunication and postal services is required. Energy infrastructure is required. ESCOM and telecom infrastructure, water boards are required to participate there. And there was an issue in the House about the Ingonyama Trust. There is an even level of understanding as to what the High Committee was saying in relation to Ingonyama Trust. Honorable Buthelezi has a different perspective from the perspective that was put in the House by Honorable Skwacha. Then there are skills-related departments, which is the Department of Higher Education, which has not done a thing to develop the Cooperative Development Academy. As a result, we have fly-by-night service providers who are saying they are training cooperatives when they themselves are not trained. Then the basic education also, because if you don't introduce community development in the curriculum, then you will not transform the country to become a mixed economy country, because you don't have that in the curriculum. The CETAs, the NGOs, and the CBOs. Now, all that I want to say here is that without this as a fundamental key point of departure, all that you are presenting doesn't say anything to us, because there has to be, what is it that you are addressing by doing all these things that you are doing, and what change then do we see? The change that we want to see, Tina, is the shift of the budget from a welfare type of department to a developmental department. I'm going to leave all other questions because time is up, but I will raise those questions when we meet. You can respond.
Thank you, Chair. I will share the responses with the colleagues. I think I'll start with Honorable Mlaudi's questions.
Chairperson, may I propose that because Honorable Mlaudi is not here, that he starts with the next question.
Yes, it will also save us time because other members asked if you have questions and the questions that were asked by Honorable Mlaudi.
I'll go to Honorable Kruger's questions.
the first question that he asked is about the alignment between the work that we presented today and the work that was presented last week. It is aligned. I think one of the examples, for example, is the work that we are doing with the Department of Science and Technology, with National Treasury, where we are addressing the gap in the financing of startup businesses. So we've identified that gap, so there is an instrument that is being introduced to address the ideation and early startup phase. Jeff, will you respond on the CBDA issue and the Act? And then the other question that was asked was on the red tape. We are doing some work around red tape reduction. I think what we can also do, Honorable Kruger, is give you an update looking at the guidelines that we've introduced in a number of municipalities, and also give you some feedback on the assessment, because after a couple of years we go back just to assess whether there is improvement in terms of red tape reduction in particular municipalities where we have interacted with the municipality as well as small businesses that are operating in those municipalities, because it's critical for us to check whether there is any movement, especially on the side of the municipalities, in reducing red tape. I can inform you that the results are mixed in some municipalities, that they are really struggling to even implement the guidelines that we, together with them, we identify the issues that they can address in reducing red tape for municipalities, for SMEs and cooperatives.
You say you can give me a report. I would like to hear, will give you a report, and I want to know when can I expect that report. Thank you.
The assessment reports are available because it's work that has already been done, so we can provide that information. We'll interact with the Secretariat.
Okay. Yeah. With respect to the question that was asked by the Honourable Member on we should wait until the Cooperative Banks Act is finalised, I think that is most of the issues, it's correct, are going to progress with that amendment of the Act. Therefore, it will very much be to our advantage to make sure that the Act is amended, because it will provide clarity on a number of issues, including this issue of whether we should merge the CBDA and the CDA. It's also a matter that also will impact the legislation, because once we make that merger, it should also be reflected in the legislation accordingly once we've agreed. And so, yeah, it does in a sense make sense, that particular point. And then on the issue that was raised by Charles on the CDA being the regulate, what is the supervisory, you said supervisory body, CBDA, yeah, being a supervisory body. Let me differ slightly with you. CBDA was established to provide one, the supervisory, in fact, it's more like your regulatory aspect to register the CFIs, and then also to regulate their behavior and their conduct in the market. But it was also given a responsibility to provide development support to the CFIs as well. So it has those responsibilities. Responsibilities not only just to be regulatory, but it also has to provide development support. That's why it has capacity building support within itself as a role. So the regulatory arm of CBDA has been moved to the Reserve Bank. So in that respect, what it then practically means is that that regulatory character of the CBDA is no more there.
So then it means that what then it requires is that what is left is only one aspect of the CBDA, the capacity building, and then which is the main aspect that is there, which is development support. That is one of the other responsibilities was given. So in a sense then, I wouldn't completely agree with the perspective that says joining these two institutions does not make sense. It does, because what is only left within the CBDA is only the development support, which the CBDA will be providing primarily the development support of cooperatives in general, including also CFI. So in that respect, I think I will take a different view on your perspective. I will end then also allow DG to continue.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. To respond to Honorable Mushwe's questions, that's a difficult question whether the budget today is going to prioritize SMEs. We would like to see that, Honorable Mushwe, that this budget must, because I think the mandate paper is supposed to inform the prioritization of the budget. That's our expectation. The second question was whether all these departments that are listed here, if we entered into transversal agreements.
But there's a contradiction. Honorable Mushwe is saying that, and Honorable Charles is saying, you are unable to spend what you are given. You want to take what is in other departments. You are not clear on what you want to do. Do you think that you can absorb that budget when you are actually failing to spend even the one that you have? So that is what we would all want to see, but you are not addressing the issue of capacity in the department. And 4 years, if people were identified in the department and there was an agreement with a particular country that is doing very well on small business and cooperatives, and have an agreement on how to build the internal capacity of the department, we would be far by now. We would not be talking about a new department.
No, that's true, Chairperson. I think the issue of capacity is a serious concern. But in terms of expenditure, I think this year there is some improvement. In fact, I think for starting in the new financial year, the EU, they will be advancing some technical support, people who will be assisting us to drive particular programs. So the issue of capacity is something really that we, because it will not help us to get the whole 15 billion and then not spending it. So it should go together, the budget as well as the capacity in terms of human resources that are going to assist us to implement the programs. Yes, I think I was trying to answer the issue of the transversal agreements. I would say no, not all of those government departments have transversal agreements with us. Some, it has taken, I think, 3 years or so to negotiate a transversal agreement, but you find that work is continuing. For example, human settlements, it's been a challenge to get the agreement signed, but we are working with them. For example, in one of their big projects in Vulindlela, I think it's Vulindlela, we supported cooperatives, who even provided them with financial support so that they can start doing the construction work in that project that they are doing in KZN, as well as some projects that they are driving in the Free State. Some of the cooperatives that are working on the construction of the RDP houses are funded through CIS. So there is work that is continuing with some of these governments, even though we don't have a signed transversal agreement with them. Then on
up from
Chairperson, I want to know if there are reasons why departments cannot sign agreements. Can those reasons be addressed? I mean, 3 years is a long time. I don't understand why departments are they refusing to sign, or what's the problem?
Honorable Chair, I think the other issue that we can be honest about, I think other departments, some of them, they don't see the reason why we want them to sign it an agreement with us. I remember, Chair, Defense, they had to be forced by the PC to sign the agreement. We were negotiating, and never reaching any agreement. And then the agreement ended up being signed. But some human documents, for example, they wanted it to be signed at a ministerial level, and they were struggling to get their minister to sign the agreement. So finally, they've agreed that it can be signed at a DG level. It's just things that are really not substantive. You know, the reasons are not that substantive, but some of them, they really don't understand why we are really pushing them to enter into a formal agreement with us. They think we're trying to lock them down to deliver particular activities, whereas they tell us that they have their own priorities. So it should be really... Sometimes, personally, a personal view, when government departments prepare their APPs, National Treasury and DPME are the only departments that comment on their APPs, whether these APPs are adequate or they are appropriate. We don't have that right to do that. I wish we could have that right so that we can look at their APPs and see whether their planning, does it address small business and cooperatives issues, the way they allocate budget, the way they structure their APP targets, does it talk to? If SMMEs and co-ops are...
When you go to those departments, you are guided. I don't know whether you read the strike plan of the portfolio committee. We have a strike plan. And we are directing the department to say we will monitor the department's performance in relation to their adherence to the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act, because that is the act that informs your mandate on transversal agreements and coordination of activities that relate to SMMEs and cooperatives. Similar to the 2010 Soccer World Cup. I don't know how many times I have mentioned this. The second policy that we put in the strike plan is that we are going to monitor you in relation to your understanding the integrated development planning process at a municipality level. And we even advise you to say the coordinated, the integrated development plan that national departments align their budget to is the one that comes from a district municipality, and we have 44 district municipalities and 8 metros, which means it's 52. In a year, you budget 52 days to talk to those people. Or you just go to the Department of Culture, you bring them under one roof, and then you agree on how you are going to work and facilitate the signing of the transversal agreement and work according to the Integrated Development Planning Framework Act. The third one is the National Social Development Perspective. It's not going to yield any results to fund SMMEs which want to do things that are not informed by the National Special Development Perspective of the area, because you won't attract any private investor to come and work with those SMMEs, because the private investors look at the Special Development Perspective of an area. The last one is the Local Economic Development Strategy of a municipality. So if the department is going to the Department of Defense, talking at minister to minister, which act or policy informs that discussion? Because even the transversal agreement is different from a bilateral agreement. A transversal agreement is informed by a project that brings together a number of people and a number of spheres of government. And then they commit themselves, which is why the question I asked
was, is there a national accord that then binds this National Interdepartmental Coordinating Committee? Or the committee is there, but there is nothing that binds it? Because if there was that accord, there wasn't going to be anything. There was not going to be any difficulty in ensuring that these things happen. An accord that is signed at NEDLAC, no one walks away from that accord.
I think, Chair, what will really help is to have the national accord in place. It's something that we prioritize for the new financial year. I think that is something that can direct each and every government department to support SMMEs and cooperatives. So we are working on that, Chair, going forward. Then Honorable Shue asked about the employees that went back. I think it's a combination of things, Honorable Chair. Some of the employees, I think they felt that there was too much pressure in this department, because now we are really in the spotlight, whereas at the DTI, it's a very big department. And the spotlight, as you would know, is on industrial development. So they requested to go back, but some way. No ghost.
Baphindela kwa DTI because what is I kuyahlala. No wonder kanti kulo 50% failure rate. How?
No, not Chair, but by the DTI. It's just that the department is big. DTI is big. Okay. And then the other one, I think it was people who came with Pumla, they were seconded. So when she went back to the DTI, they went back with her. Then the next question was from Honorable Tab on the public procurement bill. The process of the bill is driven by National Treasury. What we are aware of is that it's with the Office of the State Law Advisor. That's where it is. But they are targeting that it should come to Parliament this year, 2018. That's the work plan that they are working on. I'm not sure, Chairperson, about the exact date. We can.
Yes, campaign. What part does it pass the budget? Kali campaign. Can it cut the
okay. No, we hear that, Chairperson. We are gonna check with them in terms of the exact date of when they're gonna be finalizing it. And then Honorable Kappa asked about the meeting that was held. Yes, from our side as Department of Small Business, but I'll allow Bridget to respond to that. We submitted all the documentation that was required from our side, and then Bridget will answer on the structure. I think you'll also, Bridget, cover the other questions from other members that relate to the structure.
Thank you, AJG. Honorable members, just to go to the structure slide, correctly so, the Department of Small Business Development, that component includes the DG's office as such. There was another question that related to branch one. Currently, we don't have funding from Treasury for an administrative branch. Hence, there isn't a branch, but three chief directorates. The one which is corporate services, the other one which is the financial component, CFO, and the other component that handles entity oversight, the executive support, as well as risk and compliance, and those components, internal audit and so on. So that sits in that space. Those are the three that would make up administration. Then there was another question that also related to why people are leaving the department. In actual fact, our turnover rate is exceptionally low. It's sitting at between 3% and 5% of the total staff complement over the last 3 years. So it's exceptionally low. Seriously.
Don't respond to that person because they are contradicting each other.
Yeah.
We are not looking at whether the turnover is low or not. We are looking at why would people who were transferred as a human resource that relates to the function that was transferred would then go back. And Lindo has provided us a very honest answer. There is pressure here because there is a spotlight. And in DTI, there was no pressure. You can relax, you can play solitaire because the focus is on big businesses, industrialists. Even if the failure rate is 88% on cooperatives, there is no one who questions you here. You are questioned. So don't contradict each other. Just respond to other.
Certainly, Chair. I was merely just indicating the current turnover rate that we haven't had more. Okay. Then to go to the, there was another question related to the structure from Honourable Chance that asked the question around the finalisation of the structure. We have an approved structure currently that has the cooperatives branch, which is one branch.
Respond to questions. The Honourable Chance is not asking about an approved structure. The question of Honourable Chance is informed by the fact that each time you come to present to us the organogram of this department, we see new things. We can bring you all your presentations. They are not the same. And then we are worried that the department was established in July 2014. July 2015, July 2016, July 2017, we are now in February 2018. The question that Honorable Chan is asking in a simple language, how long does it take to establish an organogram of a department? And when can we see a finalized organogram? Because I can bet you the next presentation will come with a different organogram. So, Tina, all that we want to know, when will this process be finalized under normal circumstances? How long does it take to finalize an organogram? And there are departments that have been established in this democratic government. The Department of Economic Development was not there. It was established and it took off the ground before the end of the administration term. This department, we don't see it finalizing the structure of the department within 5 years. We don't see that happening. The question that we want you to respond to, how long does it take under normal circumstances, and how long is still going to take for you to finalize, because there will not be any action and any implementation that takes place if the department does not have an organogram that speaks to what is supposed to be done in terms of the mandate of the department and the needs on the ground.
Chair, if I may just say, it's not just the organogram, it's the appointment of permanent people in that organogram.
Yes.
You can't run a department with acting this and acting that.
Just to add on what Honorable Chan, a decision of appointing the DDG's position were decided long time ago, but we are still having acting DDG.
Another question that we are still going to ask. The Small Business Advisory Council advertisement were done in 2015 to establish that. It's enforced by an act. Up to now, there is no Small Business Advisory Council, meaning that the department is violating government policies and the act that have actually are directing the department on what to do. Do we then pass an act for the sake of passing it and put it and make it a paper act, or we pass an act in order to have a structure in place? The same thing applies to the Cooperative Development Agency. It doesn't exist. The same thing applies to the Cooperative Development Academy. It doesn't exist. But the acts were passed long time ago. So the question is very simple. When are we going to finalize this issue of the structure, filling the vacancies and not having people who are acting, so that they can be bold and take the necessary steps, because they know that they are permanent. They are appointed, and there is accountability that is different from an accountability of an acting person. Because acting, you shift them. They act for a particular time, and then you shift them to another unit. You are rotating them because they can only act for a certain time.
Thank you, Chair. The short answer, the target date for the structure is to have it approved through DPSA as well as Minister by the end of March this year, 2018. With regard to the acting, two DDG posts were advertised last year. We've completed interviews for the two posts, and the submission is en route to MPSA and then Cabinet. Those are the two DDG posts that we have.
Are there any questions? Are there questions that you still had to respond to? Be very short.
Chair, there are two cooperative banks. The other one is in Orania. The other one is in Northwest. The Orania one is doing well. It's growing, both in terms of assets and also the savings of members. And then also the one in Northwest is also doing the same, but the challenge is that we have not yet have a deliberation of how we can then, through those two banks, create a national one. That's where the discussion is. But the members, where they are they're being serviced very well by those two cooperative banks.
I think we need to revisit this thing. I had written a question here, because I'm getting confused from your answer.
Okay.
I'm getting confused because your premise in responding to the question shifts away from the principle of cooperatives being established by members to provide a service to themselves. Okay. If then we are saying we look at those two banks and then look at how we can establish a national bank, my training on cooperatives is that a national bank would be a sector-based national bank because it provides a service to a particular sector. Let me make an example. We have a taxi industry in South Africa. They buy cars. They finance their own cars. Currently, they are not financing their own cars. An ideal situation would be the taxi industry to have their own bank. An ideal situation would be the taxi industry to have their own insurance. It's a sector. It's a bank that is providing a service to its own members. It then gets national brand based on the service that it's providing. Now, if you are talking about Oranio is established on a different principle, values, and policies. It's Afrikaners wanting to have their own space in South Africa, using their own language, having their own school, even having their own currency. So, ngifuna la singayidebate lento ngoba mina nawe sizokontradictana. I challenge yakho ukuthi mina I studied macro-operatives in relation to community economic development, not just cooperatives as cooperatives. So asiyeke le ndaba ngoba le example le oyishoyo. The example angeke ukwazi ukushintsha i-Oranio uyenze a national bank when the policy and the need that is addressed by the Oranio relate to what those people have determined for themselves. Say bye.
Chair, I won't go further. I will leave that at we will debate it later. Yeah, okay.
That doesn't mean ukuthi i-Oranio is a bad example on how you empower a community, you facilitate community socio-economic development. That doesn't mean that.
Yeah.
There are good lessons that we can learn because we are talking about community sustainability, building sustainable communities. That community is very sustainable because everything rotates amongst themselves.
Leave that one. And then the last one, I think that was raised, is the top-down approach of government, which I think that was the issue that was raised. I think we are, I want to say that there is that aspect, that might be a fair criticism, but our approach is that, you know, like for instance, let me make an example with the, which I think the chair has raised. Maybe I might be making a wrong mistake to go back there, but I can, just to answer this question, you know, we started initially when we were developing the payment, platform to bring the bank. We engaged with all the cooperatives because our approach was that it has to come and support it from below. But it eventually, I think, ended up with having some disagreements on that aspect between the cooperatives movement and the department on the establishment of that particular platform. But the initial approach was very much to be bottom up in developing all what we are doing within that particular space. But I think some of the disagreements that he made were not handled better. Then it appears that things were done on a top, a bottom, when in fact at that initial stage we engage in the sector right from the bottom when we are developing that particular aspect. So all what we do, we always engage the sector and make sure that we've got buy-in within the sector. But at some particular point of view, differences emerge. And then the department now is left alone with that issue, and the money has been spent of government. And then you find that now it appears as if we did it on our own from top to the bottom, when in fact it was always bottoms up in our approach. Now, on the other issue, which is the issue of the last one, which is what is our the perspective of the fees. I think there was a question that was asked on the fees. We have not yet agreed on the actual amount of those fees, but in terms of the proposal to finance the stabilization fund, is that Money must come from government, the other one must come from the members themselves, because the idea is that that stabilization fund will be the property of the apex body of those CFIs, the apex body of the cooperative banks, who will own the stabilization, and it becomes a private that is fund for them as cooperatives. We just assisted in developing it as government, but the view is that eventually it must be a private property that is managed, run by the cooperatives themselves once it is taken off, and the cooperatives are now on a better position to run that stabilization fund. That is the approach.
Experience and the correct terminology.
Yeah.
Correct terminology was a snaggy day.
Yeah.
Kuma cooperative, are you going to get privately owned?
Oh.
Collectively owned.
Yes, collectively owned. That's what
I
meant.
So, Musa ake ukufaka into yaka private sector because Musa letha leyo terminology lo ukhuluma ngama SMME.
From terminology.
Sure.
So I just would like to get an answer to my question about the app-based bank.
No, that one we've not engaged with it. I think in the department it's something that I would look to engage with it and look at it and look at how it looks like, and then if it is a great thing, really, maybe I could espouse that is we as a department adopt it to be a way forward. But I wouldn't make some comments that are uninformed at the moment. No, I haven't.
I'm saying that we need to revisit this because we can't be talking about the fourth revolution, the digital disruption, and then we don't subscribe to an app-based bank. But also, I want us to revisit this matter because there are different models. The strongest country in cooperative banking is Canada. It's Canada. They are credit union. And it doesn't have a national bank of cooperatives. Doesn't. Kenya has got the National Bank of Cooperatives. So we must then, what informs the type of banks and branding them is how the community is structured in a particular country. In South Africa, we already have organized groups. I've talked about the tech industry. It's an organized group. Money rotates within the tech industry, and here Puma Gama first day. Buying tires takes money out. Buying fuel takes money out. And the digital platform would assist the tech industry to actually have that digital as a transaction app for passengers to use. And it assists them to control imali yabo. Imali eningi yethu industry ishone sokusini ku driver. So let us leave this thing because it is not informed by the real conditions on the ground. Stock sales are spending money. Those that are consuming groceries at the end of the year, they are actually banking their money in the supermarket and butcheries because they will be buying meat. And with a digital platform, that will take them away from doing that. They will keep that in their own bank as consumer cooperatives because that's who they are. Lawa Chenga Ngugula. Lawa the burial society is saying. So any form of a cooperative is informed by the conditions, the real conditions on the ground. It can't be informed by what is happening in Kenya. It also can't be informed by what is happening in Canada. It will be informed by what is happening on the ground. and talking to those organized groups. I declare the meeting closed.